let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The book Honey Pot from author David Cameron is of a sexually explicit nature. It outlines how our government enacted a covert operation to combat secret plots against the United Kingdom, Canada, and the USA. David says there are scenes that may challenge your sense of morality, so if you're squeamish at being exposed to life and all its sexuality, well, then don't read it. But if you want to be sexually aroused and lured into a thrilling adventure, then hang on to your hat. The book is based on the Cold War era, where Soviets and free world engaged in entrapping military, diplomatic, and government officials in sexual encounters that were photographed, then used to turn the individuals into divulging secrets. The author, David Cameron, is a retired businessman. In the process of publishing his book, Tears of the Poet, he writes country songs, just completed a demo disc with a songwriter's music group in Nashville. His disc had been included in their annual compilation album, been distributed to all major music, film, TV studios, and selected country radio stations. David Cameron, author of The Honey Pot, is with us on This Week in America. David, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate to be on your program.
Well, and there's so much to talk about between the book and the music, and we'll start in talking about the book here, The Honey Pot, by our guest, David Cameron. Talk about the reasons, where this book came from, the inspiration for putting this book together, because it's a fascinating, very entertaining read as you're going through the book. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, Rick, a year ago last May, my wife passed away. Of 48 years we were together, and my granddaughter bought me an iPad. I'm like you, not very computerized or anything like that, so yes. I had no idea what the heck what the iPad was, but she put me on Instagram, and I get a message from a lady, and I don't know who she is. I answered stupidly, like, what do you want? And she got mad at me and said, why are you on here if you don't wish to speak? So then I told her exactly what happened. So she had got my name. She wanted to write a book on erotica, but she needed a co-writer to do it with her, and on a contingency basis, which the four-letter word comes up, free.
Exactly.
So I wasn't sure. So I went. I belonged to a writer's group where nobody knows each other, but we sort of critique each other's work, and we go from there. So there's no animosity between our blood feuds started.
Exactly.
Don't like your
yes.
work. So I asked the question. I said, could I write? I've never written anything like this. Do you think I could write it? And there's one individual there, I think it was a woman, came back and said, you have the ability to induce a woman to tears with your poetry. You can induce a woman to sexual fulfillment with your prose. So, and I'll give you some tips, she said. Make the book a fantasy. Make it to where serials can be taken off. It's similar to Julian Fellowes' Downton Abbey. And make the protagonist in the book human so that people can sort of get to know and look forward to them. So that's what I did. So this young lady, I said, okay, I'll write with you. So she said, could you just write something? First she asked, how old are you? I said, I would never ask a lady how old she is. And I laughed. And so she said, why? She said, you sound mature. I said, well, is that a polite way of saying old? So I tell you what, I said, Diana, I'll write a, she asked me to write something. I said, I'll write a chapter. You can judge from there. So I wrote a chapter, and 10 days went by, I never heard from her. And I thought, so I emailed and said, did I not make the book write for you? No, she says, I'm reading it over and over. I've read it 7 times, the first chapter. Oh,
yes.
So you get the meaning what was happening. So, but then she says, I don't think I can right along with you. She said, I just don't have that skill. But she said, so I said, that's okay. I said, what? I said, Diana, I said, I'm going to be looking for beautiful women and young men to go into the book. So I said, would you want to do that? She said, I will do it in a minute. So I paid her for her time and the idea, and away the book started out. And when we started doing the book, we sent out the first chapter out, and she's in the cosmetic business. And so they took it to different studios and cosmetic salons and that to get a reaction to the first chapter. And it was between women 30 to 60. And we wanted to rate it on an experience of mildly stimulated to 5, which is the maximum. And everyone, Rick, came back 5. So we knew, or I knew, I was on the right track. So each chapter, for the first 3 chapters, we sent them out that way. And it just got better. So that's how the book started going. And in realizing, even in today, it's the same thing. Your General David Petraeus, just a few years ago, with his mistress, started whispering military secrets to her, and he got fired.
Yes.
And you probably are aware of that. And so it's not something new. It's gone since for millennia.
So the premise of the book that I mentioned in the beginning, going back to the Cold War era and enticing people, that's what that part of it's based on reality, what actually happened, correct?
Oh, yes. So what I looked at is I said, okay, you have these beautiful women, young men, because you attract both in doing an espionage. And I said, well, where did they get them? How were they trained? I said, you don't go to the website and pick them. So I decided I was going to write a book on how they would be sort of vetted and trained and brought together. And I brought them together so they experienced interaction between all different male on male, female, female, this type of thing. And so there no jealousy involved, and they could be out in the, because they're going to be spies. They're going to be out there in danger. So they have to have every kind of sort of armor on their side to be the type of person that can do these type of things. They can't change their mind halfway through. So that's how it came about, and that's how I started writing it. And they don't know in the book that they are being vetted to be espionage agents for MI6, CSIS in Canada, and the CIA. Now, once they're chosen and selected, some were, they would go on to the training, be training at Guantanamo or wherever they're going to do it. It was all secret, so it can't be mentioned anywhere. The CIA, whoever were doing the training, are not going to acknowledge it. But they had to have the funding to be able to do this, the penthouse suites and this type of thing.
Yes.
So that's how the book started to come together. And you know what, Rick? When we started getting the book out there on Amazon, eBay was the first, I got even younger couples who came and asked where they could download the book. And I said, well, why would you? You said, well, we heard it was sexually explicit. And I said, so it's a bottle of wine and candlelight?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what it became. So I took heat over this, Rick. Family, everything, hair on fire, running, church lady coming to admonish me. But she read the whole book. So I just persevered and said, well, I'm going to write it the way I want to write it. And the way I think that the male and female would react to it. And in my research, I came across a stunning statistic that there's 100 million men in America and in Canada suffering from ED, erection dysfunction. And that said to me, there's 100,000 or 100 million women out there. Not 100 million.
Yes, yes.
100 million, yeah.
Yes.
Out there. So it just gave me such a twist to the book that I wasn't even thinking of. So the book not only became the start of a spy novel series, but it became like a cathartic thing for women or men to read.
Well, yeah, and so many facets of the book. It's almost like a sexual therapy in the book with a great storyline to go with it.
Exactly, Rick. I got one from a prominent a reviewer who just ripped me apart and, took umbrage with the... there were some spelling mistakes, which were not my fault, that I couldn't get them by the publisher in time to change, and some punctuation. She took umbrage at that more than anything. And then she was talking about the fantasies in the book. I told her, Amy, this is all the fantasies of the people that answered the questionnaire. These are actual people,
real
fantasies,
people, yes.
what they think about. And what they have, I said, people fantasize. If the one, this lady went on in our writing group, she said, David, if all couples stop fantasizing while having sex, sex would be stopped in 2 years. They all do it, and anybody who says they don't do it are liars.
Well,
so
and you captured that.
Yeah,
you capture that in the book. That's amazing, the reviewer. The masturbation's okay, but you missed a semicolon, Mr. Cameron. What's wrong with you? We can't have this. Your punctuation is off. It's a funny story that she focused on that part of it. Now, the book is the honeypot.
And then, Rick, she finished off saying, and your book was boring. I just lambasted her back, and I said, "Hey, dear," which is a sexist thing, and I meant it to be that. I said, "Look, if my book is boring, I said, what kind of kinky S to a T have you been up to?" Well, then the sparks were flying.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah. I mentioned
in writing the book. Your agent for Book Tales, who I'm going to be, we've got other books and coming out, asked for the research on it. So I sent it to her, and I said, Daisy, have a look at it. And you can see where you're coming from if we're going to do some promotion in that. And she said, David, you have another book here. Do you understand that? I said, yes, I think I understand it. But I said, I don't want to write a book that's only from the male side. I want a book from the female side also. So I said, Daisy, I said, would you partner with me on the book and we'll write it together? I'll give you the male side and you give me the female side. So that's coming about. We're over 90% done, Rick. So
yeah,
back to the honeypot. The cathartic... stimulation from the book, and I said to everybody that inquired of me, I said, just read one chapter at a time. Get the person you love, sit down, have a glass of wine, get yourselves in the mood, and read one chapter. And that's what they've done. And when they came back and said, it was just like the spark that we needed in our marriage, and because with that ED problem, Rick. There is a big problem. There's cheating, divorces, stress going on, and nobody's looking at it. Everybody's got their head in the sand. There's only one thing that's come up now is the herbal supplements are making their way back onto the market, which these herbal supplements are the key and the way sexual activity goes. We're not kids. You're not. Your audience are not kids. They have the same kind of problems in their lives that everybody does.
So here's a chance. And I want to leave a couple of minutes left here. The time is going by so quickly to talk about Tears of the Poet. But here's a chance with the book to get a great story And to and this falls in the erotica category. So you're getting a great story, and you're getting a little extra enjoyment out of the book as well as you read that. Now, the book is The Honeypot by David Cameron. You'll find that at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to that. And David, excellent job with that. And hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about the sequel to the book as well. So much there, but a couple minutes left in the program, and I want to talk about something that's very near and dear to you. That's the Tears of the Poet project that I had mentioned. Give us just a little bit of background on that, and I want to leave a few minutes so we can play a song, that demo disc that I was talking about. How did this whole idea develop for Tears of the Poet?
Well, I've been writing poems for years, and we used to live in Vancouver, British Columbia, and then we moved back. I threw maybe a dresser drawer full of poems out, and Christian Faith Publishing got in touch with me, and when I told him that, the guy almost had a heart attack. He said, don't ever do that again. So I began writing again, and then my wife got ill and with COPD and dementia and that, and 48 years together, that's heartbreaking.
Yes. Yeah, very difficult
so
to,
I wrote
to go through.
So, Rick, my poems are from the heart. I cannot read my poems. When I go to public readings, I have to have somebody there to stand up and read them because I can't get through them.
It's so emotional and so well done, and emotions that we all can relate to. And if we've not had a personal experience like that, we can imagine being in that position or know somebody who has. I mentioned I want to close with the music here. Tears of the Poet, just give us a little background on the music, and then we'll listen to this because it's moving. It's life-changing.
Well, I do business with Soundwriters Music Studio in Nashville. So they wanted me to write some songs because they liked, they said, what you have, I asked him, why do you want my songs? He said, because you have an ability to put a hook line in, and it's very important in songwriting. So I said, how many do you need? He said, seven. So I had six there, and I had written a poem when my wife was passing at her bedside, and I wrote three over that day, and never even thinking about it. I never wrote anything down, Rick. They were all in my head. When they asked me, how did you write three poems in your head? I said, the angels came with the golden book.
Yeah, there was...
The words were there.
There was an inspiration
they
there.
They were all there. I picked them out of the book. So what happened was, I wrote the song that you're, The Waltz to the End, and it was used in the obituary. And I told everybody, I said, I'm going to get this recorded. And of course they thought, well, just an old man dreaming. They never thought I'd even get the honeypot published. But anyways, I wrote it. I sent it down to Ronnie James, president of the Soundwriters Music Studio in Nashville there. And I just said, pick one song and record one. So I had thrown that one in at the end just to make seven. So he came back and he picked that one. So I went back and I said, Ronnie, what made you pick that song? He said, I picked that song because it spoke to me. And then I told him the story, like I'm telling to you and your audience. And he said, David, we're going to make it right. So he waited to get, there was the person singing that, Michael Lusk, he was in the hospital. So he waited for him to get out. He says, I've got the perfect person. So they take the studio, a five-piece band, they write the music to it, and the singer comes on and gives the song. So you've heard the song.
Yes, let's share that. Yeah, we've got a few minutes left in the program, and I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to enjoy this music. Let's listen to this, David. We're both going to listen to this, the audience as well. We'll come back and tie everything together here in a second. But let's listen to David's music, and then we'll be right back.
glided across the dance floor of life until the finish line was in sight. Now the steps to the walls have slowed, and time has caught us to make the preparations that all must make. So now one must go and one must stay. That is how it will be. But then the one who now remains will in memory sift through the wisps of time that so long ago were etched forever in their memory. The one that stays will smile and look forward to their time to leave, and with no fear cross through into the light, and again ask their chosen that so long ago agreed to join in the dance that was called the waltz to the end. Like an old movie can be rerun at the bidding, and the years like ripples from a storm cast upon the pond reach back across the span of life to unite the husband and the wife. The one that stays will smile and look forward to their time to leave, and with no fear cross through into the light, and again ask their chosen that so long ago agreed to join in the dance that was called the waltz to the end. Join in the dance that was called the waltz to the end.
Well, I'm not sure there's much I can say or David can say to that. That music speaks for itself, called The Waltz to the End, written by David Cameron, our guest on the program. David, I got about a minute left here. What is happening with that now? I know you're trying to get this played in front of the right people and get this published so people can download and listen to this.
Yeah, it's published. As soon as the writer records it, it's published. And it's gone out in the compilation album to all of the big film studios, TV studios, and music studios and agents. But I need an artist to cover it. And it could be a female, like I talked to Ronnie James, he said it can be a female artist or a male artist, doesn't matter the gender. But he said it should be sung. And there's three sad songs in country music. He Stopped Loving Her Today by Georgie Jones, Gene Watson's My Farewell Party. He said there's a third now, The Waltz to the End.
Well, I think he's on to something.
That was the best compliment anybody could give.
Yes, coming from someone of that stature who understands that genre of music. We'll keep everybody posted on how David is progressing with that as well as the book. Unfortunately, we're out of time on the program, but let me give you the particulars. The Honey Pot is the name of the book. This will entertain you in a number of levels. The Honey Pot by David Cameron. The book's available, of course, at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the, the very moving piece of music that he wrote at the end that will progress through the system, and we will keep you posted. Hopefully that will be recorded and released very soon. David, this has been a pleasure to have you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much for being with us.
And thank you, Rick, and thank your audience for listening. And I told you, when you go home tonight, you people in the audience, take your spouse's hands, say thank you, and I love you.
Yep, it puts everything in a whole different perspective, and I think we all will be doing that tonight. And once again, David Cameron, our guest, the book that we talked about specifically, The Honeypot, and all this information on David and the book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.